That song talking about trials made me think about something I shared with our people this morning, a quote from Manly Beasley, one of my favorite old-time pastors, that said, every trial is a call to worship. In every situation, God wants to use that trial to bring us to a recognition of our great need for Him, and it is a call to worship. And so I appreciate that song and those, the message in song. And where did Keith go? Oh, there he is. I can tell you, Alvin didn't enjoy that music. He didn't enjoy your leading or your singing. It wasn't through your nose. And so for Alvin to enjoy it, you said he needs a banjo, but it also needs to be sung through his nose. And so that wouldn't work for him. I don't work for him. I can say anything I want. So David asked me to share just a few moments, a little bit about how all this kind of came about. Actually, this all started several years ago in our home in Springfield when Tammy and I were living in Springfield, and we were having a family get-together. And in that family get-together, I don't know if your family is like our family, and this had to do with Tammy's side of the family, by the way. So that's why I got a little ooh. And her family was there, and we were visiting, and her family's in church every single Sunday. Her sibling that was there in church all the time. We got to talking about just some issues. And the more we talked, the more we discovered we were on very different pages concerning God's Word, concerning issues pertaining to our culture and the things that we're facing in our country today. And it wasn't long that, it got to a place where we just finally had to quit. But we were in my house, and so I let it go on as long as I wanted. But it was a very eye-opening thing for me, because here were people that were and are in church every single Sunday. And the bottom line, when it finished up, it ended by me taking my Bible and going over and showing them things that they'd never seen before. And I said, this is why this matters to me. This is why this is important to me. It's biblical before it's ever political. And these things are addressed in God's Word. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, the Apostle Peter said, always be ready to give to anyone to ask, to give a reason for your hope, and to do so with meekness and fear. And that's very important too, because our country doesn't need another Westboro show. It needs to be done in a way that honors the Lord. But, you know, we need to be able to know what God's Word says and be able to form convictions. And as I began to think about those things, I thought, man, I don't want that to be some of the people that I pastor. And for them to be in a family get-together and them be on the other side of the table and they don't know why they believe what they believe. And here's another thing that I began to see in the body of Christ, is that there's a lot of people that, especially in Baptist churches, that say, I believe this. This is what we believe. This is what we stand for. And they do so adamantly. But they do so because they were told that's what they believe. And they don't have convictions that they have formed by the Holy Spirit leading them in their life through the search of God's Word. And so that began to happen in my life. You know, the dictionary says this as far as a meaning for worldview. It says, the overall perspective from which one sees and interprets the world. A collection of beliefs about life and the universe held by an individual or group. And so it's how we see things in the world, it's how we think, how we view God, how we view life, how we view everything that we face each and every day. And some of my favorite verses are Romans 12, 1 and 2, where the Apostle Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. By learning to think differently than the world thinks. By adopting a biblical worldview. Paul said as well, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so that's why we talk about a biblical worldview. It affects how we view God and how we walk with Him and how we hold the standard high of God's Word. So David mentioned a few statistics a while ago. I've got a few more. You say, where did these statistics come from? We got together back there and just made them up. But George Barna says this, only 4% of all American adults have a biblical worldview. That's understandable. Here's what's sad. Only 9% of Christians do. Only 50% of pastors do. And that breaks my heart. And so all these things began to form in my life, and I became very heavy-hearted about it. So a year ago, this past July, we were having a staff retreat in Branson. Jason, Wayne, and Tim, and myself. And we were just planning out the year and sharing our dreams and visions and so on. And it was the first time I voiced it. You know, I came out of the closet and I said, hey, I'd like to have a worldview conference. And I said, this is on my heart. I'd really like to do it. And I was really kind of thinking a little smaller, you know, thinking, for our church, maybe invite some people in and really just have something for our church. Because I want them to know why they believe what they believe and to address these issues of our day. And I don't want to be ashamed of them. I want them to have confidence in the Word of God and to be able to turn to God's holy, inspired, infallible Word of God. And it's inerrant. And we can stand on it. And so we began to talk about it, and they all kind of liked it. And so I think, well, we'll just see what happens. And, you know, from there, it really just began to be amazing. I thought, well, the first thing I'd really like our people to know is that, again, they can have confidence in the Word of God. And one of my favorite teachers that I love to just hear preach and teach, and had him come to our church in Springfield for years, and he became the interim there after I left, and that was Rodney Reeves. And I thought, I want to have Rodney come. And so I called Rodney, and I said, Rodney, would you come? He said, yeah, absolutely, from SBU. And so Rodney was the first one. And so he bought in. And then I thought, you know, I also want to not only have somebody come and teach about the authority of God's Word and how it's relevant and how we have such a tool in the living Word of God, but I also want someone to come and teach about what God's Word says concerning the moral issues of our day, concerning homosexuality, same-sex marriage, abortion, and so on. And again, these aren't just political issues, they're biblical issues. It's what the Bible speaks to them. And so I thought, who could come do that? One of the greatest voices around is Alan Branch from Midwestern Seminary in Kansas City. And I've been friends with him for some time, and he would come and preach for me sometimes. But so I called Alan. I said, Alan, putting together a worldview conference, would you come? And he said, sure, I'm in. Count me in. So I was on a roll now. I thought, this is going to be good. So then I got brave, I didn't tell anybody because I didn't want them to know how brave I was getting just in case I failed. And so I thought, you know what? I want people to understand Genesis and the sanctity of life, where we came from, and to know God as creator. And so I thought, I got nothing to lose. I'm going to call Answers in Genesis and just see if they'd be interested in coming to Lebanon, Missouri. It's a long shot, probably cost a bunch of money, but we've got Alvin Deskins in our church, and he's loaded. And so I thought, here we go. So I called him and went through a series of just questions and so on, and the phone calls back and forth, and had to go through different stages to get them to understand what we were doing. And they're very, I'm telling you, the Answers in Genesis is top notch. I'm telling you, they are top notch. And it was a process. And so we went through that process, and they called me back one day and they said, we'd like to come. And I said, great, I think we can fit you in. And so they said they'd be a part. And then I thought, okay, I'd really like for people to also hear about the importance of just being light and salt. David talked about the elections coming up. And this is important for us. I mean, we're called to be light and salt, and how important it is for us to be a strong biblical Christian voice in our lives and in the political system. And so I thought, who could come and speak to that? And so I thought, John Ashcroft. And so I called and we talked, and he didn't commit. I called back and we talked, and he didn't commit. Called, talked. And finally, I forget how many calls into it, just giving him information about it and stuff and saying, John, I really wish you'd come and be a part of this. Finally, I called him back another time and I said, John, I'd really like for you to come. Would you consider it? And he said, now when is this? And he pulls out the calendar, and this was back, you know, in spring. And I said, I told him the dates and stuff, and he said, you know, and this is John speaking, he said, you know, I believe God honors persistence, and you've been persistent. He said, I'm going to put it on my calendar. And he said he would be here. So then I'm thinking, wow. And then I'm still thinking about other issues of our day, and another very important one is religious liberty. And it's a threat to us as Christians, and I don't think people realize how much of a threat it is. It's a threat to our churches and to us as Christian voices in our country. So I thought, somebody needs to be here and to be a part of this conference that is an authority on religious liberty. And so I called Don Hinkle, the editor of The Pathway, for the Missouri Baptist Convention, and another good friend, and I said, Don, would you come and be a part? And he didn't bat an eye and said, yes, absolutely. The hard part of that is just a few weeks ago, Don's wife passed away and went home to be with Jesus. And so Don, I called and talked to him during that time, and Don said he just didn't feel like he could be a part, and so he needed to bow out. And so totally understand, we'll be praying for him, and I encourage you to pray for Don. These are the hard days, and I'm telling you, Don's hurting right now. He's hurting a lot, and from the time of her diagnosis to the time she went to be with Jesus was 21 days. No time to prepare. And so it's a very hard thing. And so we graciously accepted that and knew that God had another plan. So just began to think, okay, again, religious liberty. There's got to be somebody out there that would be willing to come. And one of my favorite speakers that has been for years, and I've loved hearing him not only just speak at various conferences, but on Fox News and various other places that he's shown up on, CNN and so on, is Richard Land. He's been a great voice in America. And so I thought, it's worth a shot. Can't do any more than say no. And so I called the college that he is now, or I'm sorry, the seminary that he's now the president of. And I said, I talked to his secretary and I said, we're having this conference and, you know, I explained a little bit, really like to have Richard Land come if he would be at all available and interested. And she took the information, asked me to email some other stuff. And that afternoon, that was about 11 o'clock one morning, 10 or 11 o'clock. And that afternoon, I think about 2 o'clock, just shortly after lunch, got back. And my phone rang, and that same lady called back and said, hey, Richard Land would like to speak to you. All right. And so I got on the phone, and Richard said, hey, count me in. I'll be there. And, I mean, just the hand of God. Because, folks, I'm the Elmer Fudd of pastors. I have nothing in and of myself that can put anything together. I make a mess of stuff more than I get it right. But Richard Land said he would come. Then the final one, or actually there are two others, Emer Kantor. I thought, man, we need someone that is an authority about Islam, because I'm telling you, it just saddens me, the plurality, you know, that exists, and just how it's no big deal. I thought, our people need to know the threat of Islam, need to understand Islam, and most of all, know how to witness to and share the gospel with someone that has that background. And so I thought of Emer, so I called and said, hey, Emer, would you be interested? Again, just the hand of God. He is he's a fireball, and a former Muslim, as David shared. He said, yeah. He said, I'll be there. I'll be a part. Again, just another evidence of God's hand. As we were finalizing things and kind of in that limbo of what to do with the time that Don Hinkle had, we also, again, we just began to think, okay, what could we do? And Tim Howe actually came up with the idea and put this together and pursued this. And we invited Jay Ashcroft to come and be a part. And somebody said, he's running for office. Is that kind of getting out there a little bit? Here's what he's going to talk about. He's going to talk about how we need Christians in those places. Isn't that okay to talk about? I hope, I would to God that we had some kind of choice for president. Don't go there, but we need Christians that will be a part, and that's what he's going to speak to. And maybe through that, God will challenge someone in the audience to run for city council, run for mayor, run for state house of representatives or whatever it might be. But God needs and wants to use Christians in those places. And so that's what he's going to speak to. Say all that to say this, man, just one thing after another, God just put it together. And I know he did. And then the venue, we began to think, okay, as we talked about it with our staff, we began to think, well, you know, we don't want it to be just about us as a church, as Heritage, or about me or anybody else. And so how can we keep that from being the case? And so we thought, we're going to invite other churches in. First one you know, we've had such a good experience with Hillcrest and with Upward Basketball, and David and Gina, Tammy and I have enjoyed to get to know them. Hillcrest, you're blessed. Heritage is cursed. You're blessed. You know, I'm thankful for David and Gina. And so he's the first one I shared with, and again, we're in. And then to Stephen with the association, he said, we'll do whatever. You know, a unique thing, and without dogging anybody or anything, as we've tried to go to other churches in town, it's not always that way. Not every church wants to be a part, and that's okay. That's all right. But I want to be. And I want to see what God's going to do through it. But then the venue, and we think, okay, you know, we don't want it to just be at the church. Maybe we can just open up and be so much more. And man, we're so blessed with those facilities down there. That's crazy to have those kind of facilities in Lebanon, Missouri. And we ought to be using them for church events, just a lot more. And and it's cheap. Man, is it cheap. So anyway, but don't tell them because they'll change it. And so God just opened that door. My son-in-law is associate editor for The Pathway. And all those ads that have been coming out in The Pathway, free. Not a dime. And so support The Pathway and encourage them, but I threaten him. But they've been so good to us. And then Bot Radio becoming a partner with us, saying, man, we believe in this, and doing so much to partner with us and to help us with advertising and giving us so much more than we paid for. And so God's just blessing that in a lot of different ways. So I believe it's just a God thing. And I believe that if nothing, you know, I don't know how many people is going to show up. I really don't. Somebody said, how many tickets have we sold? Not near enough. Not near. And honestly, you know, and people keep telling me, you know, Kevin, here in these next few weeks, there'll be a lot more. I hope so. Because we're out there on a limb. But God calls us to be faithful, not successful. And I know to be faithful, we needed to do this. The success of it is in His hands. I'm going to do everything in my power, as I know you are, to see it come to fruition and for God to use. But, you know, I started to say one of the sad things is I hope that the lack of ticket sales, and it's not about sale, not about making a dime. We're not going to make a dime. Not about that. Not just about selling tickets, making a grand event, anything like that. It's about getting the Word of God out. But if it doesn't succeed, the people don't come. I really struggle . These are some of the best preachers and teachers in the land. Do we have enough hunger to set aside a couple of days and be discipled? You say, man, I already know where I land on those issues. Yeah, I do too. But I know there's a lot I don't know. There's a lot more I want to know more deeply. I want to know Christ. He is enough. And it is going to be just a beeline to the cross from every angle. But if there's anything that I would hope that we would all pray for, it's a hunger among God's people. Because I believe this conference, by and large, is for us. I don't know that there's going to be a lot of skeptics come. But I would hope and pray that there would be a hunger among God's people that they would come. One thing I want to close with, I ask you to pray for. And as we were praying and worshiping, this passage came to my mind, and this expresses where I think we need to understand. What I think we need to understand is taking place. Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And here it is. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, for me, that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Folks, I want to tell you, we're getting on the devil's turf, and it's spiritual warfare. And I'm feeling it, and you're probably going to feel it. We're going to feel it as churches. We're going to feel it as pastors. And I'm telling you, spiritual warfare is heavy, and it's real. And we better be facing it in the armor of God, praying that God in His almighty power would enable us to be bold with the message of God's Word and not bow down and pull back to what the world's telling us.